Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Now, shall we go on and talk to Dave? Where's David Coleman these days? Is he on extension 1 or 2 or 3 or 4? David?
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Are you well over there?
I am very well, yeah. What a joy this is, being in Limerick, not having to drive all the way up to Dublin.
I was going to say, what a joy for you not to have to look at me. That's the beauty of it.
I wouldn't say that now, Ryan.
No, that's probably my bonus rather than yours. how was the weekend? All good in the world?
Great. Yeah, fantastic. I was out sailing a lot.
I bet you were.
Always a good way to have it.
Now, we have lots of things to get to talk about, David Coleman. You're in Limerick.
Yes, yeah, the Limerick studios. And actually, it's all set up for TV. I don't know why. I've got these big TV lights beaming down on me.
Have you?
Yeah, I do, yeah. Apparently somebody's coming in afterwards. Somebody more important is actually going to be on telly.
It could be.
On radio.
It could be. We like to consider radio a much more important medium, as it is more intimate. And
it's much more effective.
Yeah, it can be argued.
Well, it's in every room. You see, the TV only tends to be in one room. You can get a radio in every room.
And that's also, people spend a lot of time looking at TV and going, now, I wouldn't know about that jumper or that shirt.
I think what people do on TV is they flick an awful lot more. People don't flick on the radio. You know, people just settle into a program on the radio. That's my
experience. That's our hope.
That's the plan.
We don't want them to turn the dial. That's what we don't want to happen here. Let's take some texts. My 7-year-old son has difficult behaviour. He is the second child of 4 children. We are expecting number 5. Is this all going in, David?
Yes, I can hear it all.
He's excited about it, 7-year-old. I work with children as a childcare professional, so I feel I know a fair bit about how to deal with his issues. We have tried positive reaction to good behaviour and tried to ignore the negative. No luck. So we've tried to take away toys and privileges for negative behaviour. No luck. He goes from being the best little man in the world, kind, helpful, good, to months of not doing what he's told, constantly picking on his siblings, making noise and just trying to annoy everyone. He gets much more attention than the other children, but is still looking for attention, be it positive or negative. He might feel like he's constantly in the shadow of his brother, but this is not coming from us, as he is just as bright and exceptionally good at sport. I just want him to respect his parents and adults and to grow up into a great human being. Please help.
You know, it's really difficult because I always think whenever you are the second, particularly in a big family, you know, people tend to take on roles within families. So the eldest is the eldest. They get a certain amount of kudos for that. The youngest always remains the baby for as long as they're the youngest. But this second child and middle children generally often have a real struggle to try and find out, well, what is my role? What's my thing within the family? And so either they often become, you know, the best little helper. So they're always there at your side, always smiling, looking to help, or they become the little tearaway and a bit of a handful, a bit of a struggle, and it's like that's what they get known for. So, I mean, good that they've focused on the positive reinforcement of positive behaviour. That's always a good thing. So catch your children being good. I'm never a huge fan of punishment. I mean, obviously, it's the flip side of the positive reinforcement is that you put consequences in place for bold behaviour or what you might term bad behaviour. But it just tends to lead to a lot of negative, a lot of conflict stuff going on within the family, and you end up having to punish your child more. They end up misbehaving more. You end up punishing them more. But what you might want to do is to talk to him about his relationship with his older brother. If you've recognised that he might have an issue with it, even though you don't necessarily treat him differently and you don't necessarily give the older brother any particular status within the family, he might well feel that he has to compete with his older brother. And I am a big believer that sometimes with small children especially, you know, until the bad feelings come out, the good feelings can't come in. And so if you can get him talking about how difficult it might be to be the second child, how much he might feel jealous or envious of his brother, even if you're not actually creating situations where they get compared or anything like that, it may just be that he has his own internal stuff going on where he sees, look, my big brother is a pain in the neck because he's so good at everything and I actually don't feel like I can compete. And so what he does is he avoids the competition, but instead he just kind of gets in everybody's way because he still wants to be noticed. He still wants to be, you know, kind of, I suppose, attended to in the midst of what is, I would guess, a very busy family with 4 children already and another one on the way. I can't imagine it's all just, you know, kind of, you know, calm and peaceful. I'd say it's busy, busy, busy.
Are you against the idea of saying, okay, you've been such a pain in the arse, I'm taking this away from you for 2 days?
Well, it depends on the context, you see, because if it's that they've misused whatever it might be, so say they have time on a Wii or something like that, or a PlayStation, and they get really cross and they start banging and they start throwing the controller.
Or they start effing and blinding or saying or being inappropriate or rude or
then it's appropriate.
Impolite.
Then it's appropriate that they lose out on time on that machine, that they're not allowed to play that because that's probably the source.
But is that not a punishment? You said you didn't like punishments, so you're not punishing the child.
No, but that's a natural consequence, as opposed to a punishment might be that he pushes his sister and so you take his PlayStation off him. That's a different thing.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if it's a natural consequence, I think it makes sense, you know. So when children do something like, say, for example, they knock over, you know, a glass of milk, well, their consequence is that they clean it up. You know, punishment might be they get sent to the room for being clumsy. So there's a slight difference in how I would always consider those two things. And I think natural consequences are fine because that's what happens in life. You know, we have natural consequences for our behavior and we do need to learn that when we do things, we need to take responsibility in terms of whatever may happen after that. So so if we cause harm, then we have to try to repair the harm that we caused. If we cause breakages, we either have to pay for the breakages or we have to try and replace the breakages. So those are natural consequences for children and they're a good thing. But the idea of a kind of a random punishment, like say sitting on the step, you know, the old naughty
step.
Yeah,
you hate that, don't you?
Yeah, because there's nothing natural about that as a consequence for any kind of misbehavior. And it tends to get applied no matter what the behavior is. And so for the child, there's no link necessarily between their misbehavior and what might be a better way to deal with the situation.
Let's move on to another text which says, I have a lively, nearly four-year-old who refuses to listen to anybody. I brought him to gym class, but he never listens to the teacher or do as he's told. I tried to use the naughty step, but he screams and roars. The neighbours must think I'm killing him. We give him lots of attention, more so than our other child, and I cannot take my eyes off him because I'm afraid he's going to hurt his brother. We left him alone once and he punched him and toppled the buggy over. Please help.
I shouldn't laugh.
I know.
But again, you know, so there you have the other side, which is you have the older brother whose nose sounds like his nose rather has been put well out of joint by the arrival of the baby. And so again, you know, children often show us through misbehavior that there's something going on internally, that there's some issue, some problem, some emotional stuff that's there that's bothering them. And so they often act it out. And that might be the case with the four-year-old, or it might just be that he is actually genuinely very busy. And it might only be by the time he gets to school. And if you find that, you know, in school, he's really struggling to sit still, that he's very impulsive, that he's distractible, that he's distracting other children, then it might be worth, you know, going down the lines of getting some kind of an assessment because he might have something like ADHD. Now he's only four, and so four-year-olds are just busy, and I certainly wouldn't be rushing to try and diagnose any child with ADHD at age four. But, you know, by the time he's six or seven, if these kind of problems are still there and they're getting him into trouble in places like school, then it might be well worth trying to find out, is there more going on? Because you know, it could just be his temperament, it could be his personality, but the same, you know, issues, I suppose, as with the last child that we talked about, you know, the catching him being good will always be a good thing. You know, trying to help him express some of the frustration that he might feel with his little brother or whatever the situation is by naming those feelings for him and empathizing with the situations that he finds himself in, that will also help as well. And, you know, you still have to set the limits, you still have to be firm and say, look, certain things are okay, certain things are not okay.
Here's one. David, I have three kids with my ex. They're now year aged 8, 6, and 3. And my ex started dating a girl living in America at the end of January. I'm sure they've only met on two occasions, in January and March. He's going to visit her next week for 10 days. And she has a trip planned for July to visit Ireland. My concern is that he has a photo of them hugging on his fridge already and wants to take the kids for a week in July touring Ireland with her. I'm very upset that he's totally unconcerned with their feelings. We're living apart almost 2 years and I feel they need a gradual introduction to another partner if it's serious. If I can't convince him, his behaviour is reckless. How do I explain this to the children? It's a good one.
It is. And again, you know, often a situation that causes huge conflict between separated parents where, you know, one parent feels that the other parent is introducing new people who may or may not become permanent fixtures in their child's life. And, you know, there are a number of issues, I suppose, that come up. If you think about it from the child's perspective, so we'll think about the eldest, the 8-year-old in that family. And so the 8-year-old now has their dad who has this new girlfriend. And so potentially potentially this new girlfriend could actually usurp him or her, could take their place. It could be the person that their dad starts to love more than them, so that could hurt. You've also got the fact that their dad is going to be more distracted. So if the girlfriend is around a lot, obviously if she's in America, that won't necessarily be the case kind of on a week-to-week basis. But if the dad is distracted by that, then that just dilutes the time that the children have whenever they have their access with the dad. And again, then, you know, if it is the case that they get to meet this girl and they like her and she becomes, you know, a really positive part of their lives, if something then happens in the relationship with the dad and that they separate down the line, well, then that's another loss for these children. So there's a whole range of different things that, you know, and that's probably only touching the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg, but there's a whole range of things that you actually need to consider, and you're much better off thinking about it from your child's point of view. You know, fine for the dad to be excited about the new relationship, fine for him to want to, you know, allow his children to meet this woman who he really likes and who he plans obviously to spend a bit more time with, but actually he needs to think about the needs of his children more than he needs to think about his own needs or the needs of the girlfriend, I would say at this stage.
I think what I would imagine is that the dad needs to enjoy the excitement of a new relationship with his new girlfriend quietly and on his own with her for significant more time than 5 months before he starts going away on holidays with somebody he might have met once or twice.
Yeah.
That seems to be a lot of haste there by the sounds of it. But anyway, we don't know the full details, so we can only go on the strength of that. Now, we have a 6-year-old daughter who will not sleep if there's wind or rain. Our ceiling fell down a few months ago due to a leak, so she's terrified ever since. Really don't know how to deal with it. She sleeps on the couch or in our bed, and on calm nights will sleep with her 3-year-old sister for a while, but will always end up in our bed. Would love some advice.
That sounds like some kind of a post-trauma reaction.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, your ceiling falling in is a big deal. At least I'm assuming it didn't fall in on top of her, that it was a different room that the ceiling fell in. But nonetheless, I'm sure it caused huge upset and distress on the night.
This is literally chicken licking syndrome.
Say, what's that reference? I don't get the chicken licking.
Chicken licking, the sky is falling down.
Oh, right, okay.
Did you have a childhood, David? Obviously, that's a...
Well, I obviously avoided chicken licking.
Oh, you should read chicken licking. This is one of the most important stories ever told. In fact, I'm going to buy you a Ladybird copy of it when I'm in the bookshop this week. And I'm going to give it to you, present it to you live on the radio program next time you're in.
And let's read it out, because maybe the other listeners, you know, just haven't heard of chicken licking either.
Right? Well, I'd be quite shocked if there were too many, but I'm going to...
Put out a little poll today now. Put out a little poll.
51552.
Find out how many of your listeners actually
I'll do a straw poll.
Yes,
Audrey,
or no?
Have you ever heard of chicken licking? Yes. Jack, have you ever heard of chicken licking? Elaine, have you ever heard? I've got that's 4-1 so far. That's just a straw poll of people sitting in front of me. Hang on. Inanimate object. Apple, I haven't eaten yet. Have you ever heard? Yeah, he just groaned a sort of yes, and I know that. So now in the interest of balance, David, obviously you have to look around Limerick and ask anyone, is there anyone there at all? Any human?
Oh, God.
Is there a human?
Even Colin out in the box here is telling me he's heard a chicken licking.
Colin is our friend.
Yeah, well.
But the sky falling in. You are a child psychologist and you've never heard a chicken licking.
No.
Oh, for the love of Jesus. What are you doing? This is better than any manual you would have had at whatever college you went to.
Okay. Well, there you are now. So, but there has to be other people. Just anybody who hasn't heard a chicken licking, please do text Ryan.
Either of you.
Oh, shut up. You just love it when you're right.
I don't, it's not that I'm right, I'm just astounded. That's different. It's not righteousness, it's just shock.
But no, I look forward to reading about
it. I'm going to buy it for you. I can't wait to buy it for you, actually.
And is there a metaphor?
Okay. It's just don't trust strangers and don't be giving out and don't be worrying about the world so much. Okay. Shall we keep going?
Yeah, I should. I'll go back.
We're talking
to the
about the girl who's
with the wind and the rain.
She has chicken licking syndrome.
Chicken licking. You're going to coin that now, are you?
Yes.
Get that into the annals of psychology and psychiatry. Chicken licking syndrome.
Yes, she's afraid that the sky is going to fall down. The ceiling is going
to
fall in.
Yeah. So what I think actually, but genuinely though, what she needs to do is to process that whole experience a little bit more. Now, I don't know how much the family have talked about it since. I mean, she is still young. She's only 6. So for her to even be able to describe what was going on inside for her, during that experience, so whatever feelings it engendered, whether it was feelings of fear, of terror, whether she felt that there was real danger for her or for other people in the family, you know, all that kind of stuff, again, she needs to get a chance to connect to. And that then only when you've begun to do that can you reassure her that what happened was so truly unusual, that the likelihood of it happening again is so small. But at the moment, for her, she probably entirely misinterprets it and misreads it and so expects that anytime there's wind and rain, you just never know. how the whole ceiling could come in again. And so I think she just needs to realise that, what happened was so extraordinary as opposed to ordinary, and that, but she also needs to know that people get just how frightening that was for her.
Sorry. No, I'm sorry, I don't mean to take away from the child's pain, and hopefully there's great advice there. It's just the texts coming in are just making me smile a little bit.
Okay.
There were characters in Chicken that you call like something like Cocky Locky and Henny Penny, and that's fine. There's no jokes there.
I've heard of Henny Penny.
So what did you get? Did you read a page of Chicken Licken and gave up? What? I've only got three words per page. What were you? You have ADD. Like what? Chicken Lick and the Sky is Falling Down and I'm Off to See the King. Yes, text. First book I read on my own, beginning to end, age 5, from Lisa. Deeply disappointed in David. Noreen and Nate, I can't believe David has never heard of Chicken Licking. He may need therapy for that.
Do you know why does it always just turn bad for me, Ryan? Every time I come on the show, like last time we were in the house. Do you remember for the Super Value?
Yeah,
thing,
that was fun.
It was great fun.
Yeah, with Lisa and
yeah, but then
Bernard,
you were horribly cruel to me then as well. And now you're taking total pleasure in the fact that you
were. No, I'm just surprised and a little disappointed, Dave. I mean, I'm not going to put you in the naughty step over it. I'm just.
Yeah, well,
I just thought you would have. You've got kids. You were a child once, apparently, unless you come from a lab.
I'll introduce you to Mrs. Coleman Senior.
Mrs. Licken. Okay, yeah.
You can meet my mum and she'll reassure you.
You better text your mother after this show and ask her, did she ever hear of Chicken Licken?
I will. She could even be listening, in which case she might even text in and have the decency to try and rescue me. Say, we never had Chicken Licken in the house.
No, but she might just do it now to save your blushes. Chicken Licken, was that written by Colonel Saunders? It's not Chicken Licken good. It's getting very confused. I'm American and I have not heard of Chicken Licken either. Yeah, but this is from Annette in Scaries who spells it Chicken Lincoln. Now here's a woman who's got her American stories mixed up here. Old Abe versus our poultry friend. It's getting out of control. Where's this going? Oh, the metaphors, the analogies, can't take it. How long have we got left? 90 minutes. For the love of God. I'll ask you another question, David.
Do.
Have you ever heard of Hansel and Gretel? No, I'm only joking. Okay, Patrick families, they're tough, says a text. My partner's kids just about accepted me, but then we had a baby and it was tough. They did not want to meet her for almost 2 years. It was really tough. Finally they did. And now they're obsessed with their little sister. It's a long road, but they're happy now.
Yeah. You see, that's it, because you just, in any kind of situation where there's a major change, and particularly one that, you know, maybe I'm overstating, but it almost threatens the security of children. You know, it takes them a long time to adjust. And so, you know, they need to know, like, what, you know, who will this little being be? So, for example, in the case of the new baby coming in, and, you know, what happens if my dad now loves this new baby more than my dad loves me? And so there's a huge potential for just anxiety and stress in those situations. You know, and I don't think you can really understate it. I think you just have to be really thoughtful, considerate, and just slow and gentle, and give children lots of time to acclimatise and to adapt.
Nice and easy does it, as the song says. David, I have two girls aged 11 and 13, and my 11-year-old is quite angry at times, often for no reason. She just seems to be moody. She's popular at school, pleasant, and loving being at home too. It's just sometimes she gets quite angry and a bit aggressive, and it's not because of her age. She's always been prone to moody behaviour.
Okay.
Just a mood. Any ideas how to stop these moods?
No, not really, unless you can identify perhaps that, you know, one of the things you can do when you see that your child gets a particular kind of mood or a particular kind of emotional response on a regular basis is to do what we call an ABC, which is to look at the antecedent, what came before the behaviour, what the behaviour was, what the mood was, and then the consequence, what happened afterwards. So you do an ABC of looking at the behaviour, and that gives you the potential to spot if there's a pattern to when these behaviours occur. So, for example, do they always occur, you know, within an hour or 2 hours of coming home from school? Do they always occur on a Sunday evening? are on a Sunday in the during the day. And so that might, for example, give you an indication that there's something going on in school that's leading to some kind of anxiety. You know, is it the case that after you've had, you know, what you might consider nice family time, that then there's a big blowout at the end of that? And so again, that might be something about, you know, how she feels when all of the family is together, and how she feels she gets treated perhaps in comparison to her sister. So that might be the clue there. So that might be what this mum or dad might need to do, is actually do an ABC to look at, well, is there a pattern? Because oftentimes when we look closely at the situations, you do discover that there's a pattern. There is a bit of a history that, you know, the same kind of stuff might be happening in advance. And so then you can look and see, well, can we change what's happening in advance? Is there a way to do that differently to reduce the likelihood of the mood or the angriness?
Okay, David, we'll leave it there for now. A text says, Ryan, Chicken Licken was the first book my husband read to our now 22-year-old daughter when she was two. He was traumatised after it for days, saying, Jesus, the fecking fox at the mall, don't read that book anymore. So, I mean, it's a salutary lesson. That's what it's about.
Sorry now.
You're road to Damascus, are you?
Did Chicken Licken... So there was a whole journey thing going on?
Yeah, a proper journey as opposed to an Oprah journey, yeah.
Okay. And is that the one where I'll do it myself? Is that that one?
It's Henny Penny
Foxy.
No, that's
Red Little Hen I'm thinking of.
Yeah, you are. You probably had the sanitised version of it, the touchy-feely version. We're talking proper.
Okay.
Like feathers and...
Little Red Hen. That's not Henny Penny.
Just stop. No. Text says... Lay off poor David. Sure, I didn't know Humpty Dumpty was an egg until I was 40. Now, David, you need to download, have a look on YouTube. Ricky Gervais talking about Humpty Dumpty, and particularly, Humpty Dumpty is one of the funnest things I've ever seen in stand-up.
Okay.
Ricky Gervais talking about Humpty Dumpty, the egg, and beginning with which of the Dumpties thought it was a good idea to name their child
Humpty.
David, nice to talk to you.
Great to talk to you, and I look forward to it.
And so will I, Ben.